Speedway Report is produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Over the weekend, I went short track racing on dirt and asphalt here in the Carolinas. And that little bit of Bowman Gray Stadium short track racing rubbed off on Lewis Hamilton and Sebastian Vettel in Baku. The Firecracker 100 and Redbud 400 shine spotlights on late models. Well, we've got all this and more. Welcome to Speedway Report for Monday, June the 26th, 2017, from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. I'm Patrick Reynolds, and thank you for joining the fastest half hour in racing on RacersReunion.com, Facebook Live, and SpeedwayReport.com. Now, from the North Myrtle Beach ZRN Studios, producer Jeff Gilder is giving us four tires and fuel for our run to the checkered flag until the top of the hour. And being as how it is June 26th, so you know what yesterday is. Here's your reminder from Patrick. We are halfway to Christmas. Cross flags are up. 6 months will be December 25th. Fellas, got your shopping done yet? I hope so. It'll sneak up on you quick. You know how I am. I'm a December 24th guy. Let's get to racing. We're still in the midst of summer. Heck, we're at the beginning of summer, as that just started officially last week, although temperatures someplace say it started earlier. Out on the West Coast, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Tour did a little left and right racing in Sonoma, California. Kevin Harvick drank his Busch beer with a wine goblet down there in wine country. He wins his first race in the Cup Series of 2017. The NASCAR's Xfinity Tour ran Saturday night in Iowa. That race was won by William Byron. He finally gets that first career series win. This is just 1 week after that close loss to Denny Hamlin by a whisker up in Michigan. The trucks ran Friday night at the same place, Iowa Speedway, and John Hunter Nemechek won his second race in a row. Great example of David versus Goliath, as the Nemechek's pretty much have blank quarter panels and hood on that thing, looking for sponsorship, racing out of their pocket, struggling race to race. Boom, two wins in a row. NASCAR's Whelen Modified Tour ran the Bullring in Riverhead, Long Island, New York. Hometown boy Tommy Salamito takes it to victory lane. NASCAR's K&N Pro Series West cars were the support class out in Sonoma, California. Kevin Harvick swept the weekend as he competed in that event and won the race. That is one of the series that he started in before he worked his way to the East Coast and Richard Childress Racing. He was trying to draw a little bit of attention to that series. I'd say it worked, as he won by a whopping margin, him in the second place car over the rest of the field. So Harvick sweeping the weekend in Sonoma. Speaking of road racing, let's get to Indy cars, as they went to one of the most beautiful facilities in the country, if not the world. Certainly one of my favorite tracks to go to. Someday a bucket that's very high on my bucket list is Road America. Scott Dixon won his first race of the year. Good to see him win that about a month later after that vicious crash in the Indianapolis 500. Formula One raced on the streets of Baku in Azerbaijan. Well, Daniel Ricciardo won the race for Red Bull. Interesting, Lance Stroll in third place takes the first podium of his career. Big, big deal while he's driving for Williams. Speechless, in tears. First podium, good for him. NHRA was in one of their, well, legendary places to race out in Norwalk, Ohio. In Top Fuel, Steve Torrence won for the fourth time this season. Funny car was won by Jack Beckman, Pro Stock to Bo Butner, Pro Stock Motorcycle to L.E. Tonglet. Let's turn our attention to the dirt. World of Outlaw Late Models had a very busy week between racing and dodging Mother Nature. Last Tuesday, they raced in East Smithport, Pennsylvania, where Max Blair was your winner. We call that McKeon County Speedway, but I thought I'd be official with it. Then they ventured over to Lernerville for the Firecracker 100 program. This is where logistics got a little tight. Thursday night's preliminary race was rained out and postponed to Saturday afternoon before the big race that night. Friday's race was rained out and canceled, so Saturday set up a one-day doubleheader program. The Thursday program, run Saturday afternoon, was won by Brandon Shepard, and the Big Firecracker 100 Saturday night, winner, checkered flag, and most importantly, $30,000. Brandon Overton, your winner with the World of Outlaw Late Models. Now, their sanctioning body brothers with the sprints raced Tuesday night in Sauk Rapids, Minnesota. Donnie Schatz won for the 11th time this season on the tour. Then on Friday night, they moved over to West Liberty, Iowa, where Shane Stewart was your winner. He liked it so much on Friday night, he won again in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, on Saturday night. So Shane Stewart sweeps the Friday and Saturday portion of the World of Outlaw weekend. ARCA Cars raced in Oregon, Wisconsin. Yes, a short track in Wisconsin. Austin Theriault was the winner there on Saturday night. The USAC Sprints tried for the second time to get the Tony Holman Classic in at Terre Haute, Indiana. They were rained out in May. It was postponed to this past weekend. They were rained out for the second time. That event has been canceled. No real spot to put it at the Speedway or USAC's schedule. Grandview, Pennsylvania, yes, same state as Lernerville. Their sprint car feature on Saturday night was won by Scott Lutz. The balance of the open of the balance of the program was rained out. They will make up subsequent features in the coming week. So I guess Lernerville was lucky to even get in Saturday night's Firecracker 100. A little closer to home here, the Cars Tour raced in Rougemont, North Carolina. The super late model portion of the show was won by Cole Rouse, and the late model stock car half taken by Lane Riggs. Bowman Gray Stadium, where I made my home this past Saturday night, Burt Myers won the 50-lap modified race first on the card. Brody Jones won the 25-lap companion modified race, the first career victory for Brody Jones. His father won his first race there back in 1991. The Redbud 400, 400 laps, pavement late models in Anderson, Indiana, a high-banked quarter-mile oval. Dick Trickle, I think, once called these jet fighters in a gymnasium. Saturday night's Redbud 400 won by Stephen Wallace. Yes, Rusty's boy. Still racing, not full-time in Xfinity, but yeah, still out there racing. Now, let's talk about short track racing. There was plenty of it on television with Friday and Saturday night at Iowa with the NASCAR Trucks and Xfinity Series. I spent my weekend at short tracks on Friday and Saturday night. And, well, we'll get to some other stuff in a moment, too, that's relevant. Let's start with Iowa. These weekends, really, people clamor for them, really ask for them more and more, where the Xfinity and trucks just run their race by themselves. This was a great example. The Cup car is out on the West Coast on the road course. These guys have their primary show under the lights on a short track in Iowa. Great idea to me. Standalone races, we hear all the complaints of the Cup guys coming into the trucks, coming into the Xfinity cars, dominating, beating these guys up with performance, paychecks, money, engineering, driving skill, what have you. And it's been a common complaint and a common problem. When these companion races, in other words, like a Friday and Saturday support show for the Sunday Cup race, it's real easy for these Cup guys to go out there and do something. Yeah, NASCAR has restricted them somewhat with the 10-race rule, so they can't compete all the time and win all the time. But we like nothing better, I don't anyway, than when these trucks and Xfinity series runs on their own. Brings back so many memories and days of yore, so to speak, where, you know, this is how they started with these standalone races. There were some, there were some, we'll call it, that were piggyback. You know, the old late model sportsman cars and the Busch series and when the trucks first started. There were some, companion races, support races for Cup. Just as we bled over more and more to Cup racing support shows, we got away from the hometown short tracks for both series, and we got more and more downforce races, super speedways, mile and a half, 2 miles, and we all know these do not make for the best racing. Short track racing is far better. Race to race, you might find a big track race that is better than a short track race. I gotcha. But as a general rule, Any stock car fan will agree, heck yeah, let's go to more short tracks. Let's do that. So this brought back a little bit of a, you know, fondness for me, memories of days past where there were just a whole lot more just independent short track races. And a truck Xfinity doubleheader to me is a great idea. Now, the old argument in the conversation, we've had this for years, is it goes into, why don't we go back to a place like Hickory or South Boston, Virginia, or Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the track near and dear to our hearts. Then we complain, or the discussion goes, the logics well, they can't afford to pay the purse between the sanctioning body and the grandstands can only hold so much, and the price they got there for ticket. On and on and on we go. We're running an Excel spreadsheet. We slowly move these vehicles. I'm talking Xfinity and trucks here. We gradually move them away from these tracks into the bigger super speedways. I remember the days when you only saw 18-wheel semi-tractor haulers on what we called the Winston Cup side, and everybody on the, we'll call it the Busch side or the sportsman side, nobody had one yet. We had vans, we had rollback trucks, we had very sophisticated and involved trailers, but they didn't need it. They didn't make these long runs all over the country. We didn't need a whole lot of super speedway cars. We ran so many short tracks. So there goes the chicken and the egg discussion with this sucker right here. If you, a place like Hickory can't afford to pay the purse required for, say, an Xfinity Series race, okay, fine. But you take these cars out of Hickory and you send them to, say, Michigan International Speedway, it costs a whole lot more for the teams to go to Michigan to run a 200-mile race up there or a 250-mile race than it does for them to run a 200-lap feature in Hickory, North Carolina. Now, I just use Hickory and Michigan as two examples, but I hope you get my drift on this one. We abandon the short tracks for these super speedways. They do pay more, but it also costs more. So where are we going? Kevin Harvick hosts a radio show on Sirius's NASCAR channel, and he even talked about this. I'll give him a lot of credit on this one. He's a current driver and, until recently, a former team owner. We all remember KHI from just a few years ago. He had his Xfinity Series cars. He had his trucks. He paid the bills on this thing. He chased sponsors. He knows it costs more to go to Talladega. It costs more to go to Michigan. It costs more to go to California and Texas. That's where we send these cars. Yeah, the purse is better than you could pay at South Boston or Myrtle Beach, but it costs a whole lot more. Where are we going? If we just suddenly wiped the slate clean and brought these teams, Xfinity and trucks, back to the short tracks, would not the budget just be less in order to race these? The engineering, the cars, the engines, would it not just cost less to run a few 200 lappers in Hickory than it would be to go to California, to go to Texas twice? Am I missing something here or not? I don't think I am, and I don't have access to the books either, but short track racing, why don't we take a serious look at this instead of trying to be all pomp and circumstance and have our chest pumped out because we have Xfinity on these big tracks? Look, NASCAR, from me to you, don't tell me the on-track product is the most important thing when you move the race from Indianapolis Raceway Park to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Hogwash. Stock cars at Indianapolis Motor Speedway suck. Indianapolis, fantastic track. Love the history, love the lore. Fendered cars on that track just do not put up a good show. There's no way that you're going to convince me that an Xfinity race on Hickory Motor Speedway is better or not better than a Xfinity Series race at the Michigan International Speedway. And I like Michigan just fine, but let's just call it what it is. If the on-track product is so important to you, we'd be doing a whole heck of a lot more short track racing, and it would cost less than going to the super speedways. Now, I mentioned the stacker trailers, those 18-wheel suckers that we haul cars around in. Very common when I grew up in the 80s in the Winston Cup side to have a lot of those in the garage area. Now everybody's got them, and I mean everybody. I'm going to bleed this down. Trucks Series have them. Xfinity Series has them. Cup Series full of them. It's just how you go racing now. I was at the Bowman Gray Stadium in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, Saturday night. It is a quarter-mile oval, flat, No pits in the infield. They're all on the outfield. You exit through turn three. You re-enter the track in turn four. The infield is literally a football field for Winston-Salem State University. Nothing but grass. I walk through the pits on Saturday afternoon before the start of the racing program. I counted 9 tractor trailers pulling race cars into the Bowman Gray Stadium. There is absolutely zero need for a tractor trailer to pull any kind of race car to Bowman Gray Stadium. That is a track where you could still run competitively in a modified with a pickup truck and an open trailer. You don't need, there's no reason for a 18-wheel stacker trailer. That is the difference between wants and needs. Let me tell you something else. Of those 9 tractor trailers I saw at Bowman Gray Stadium, only 6 of them were for the modified class. That's from the Sportsman and Street Stocks. There are 18-wheel tractor trailers. There's 3 of them outside of the modified class pulling race cars to the Bowman Gray Stadium. That is insane. There is no need or reason for tractor trailers to be pulled there, to be pulling race cars there. I just talked to you about cost to the teams. Sometimes these teams and racers are their own worst enemy. You almost need to implement socialism into it to save them from themselves, because you can't complain about the cost of racing. As Chad Little told us several years ago on this show right here, when he was running the modified tour for NASCAR, a lot of people in the grandstand lost sympathy for the teams when they complained about the high cost of racing when they start showing up with hauler rigs that cost more than our houses do. I agree with that. I agree with the cost of racing. I agree what we're doing, which relates to my Xfinity and Truck Series spiel here. But why are you buying a stacker trailer, a 18-wheeler, to pull late model and modified cars to the Bowman Gray Stadium, of all places? Totally unnecessary, totally overkill. That is absolutely the lift kit on the pickup truck, guy to guy to guy. He's got a lift kit of 12 inches. I got to go 13 inches. Why? Because I'm a guy, and he's a guy, and that's what we do. I don't know what to tell you on that one. Again, racers can be their own worst enemy. Kevin Harvick talked about it. Let's get the trucks, Xfinity cars, back to short tracks. Save these guys some money. There's no reason for 18-wheelers. Yeah, we got them, but we don't need them on Saturday night short track racing. I went to the Carolina Speedway on Friday night as I spent Bowman Gray Stadium on Saturday. Went to Carolina on Friday night. That's in Gastonia, North Carolina, a little 0.4 mile. Racing really good. There were, as far as 18-wheelers go, I don't think any. There were a lot of enclosed haulers, some open trailers there, some pickup trucks, cube vans, stuff like that. I don't think there was any 18-wheelers there. But they didn't have a late model car on the program either. It was kind of all support classes. Here's where it goes downhill. Well, let me stick uphill for a minute. Racing at Carolina Speedway, side-by-side, passing, excellent. Good track surface, fantastic. The downside of it, they had 8 classes of cars, very few in the double digits as far as a car count went. So you had a couple of heats and a feature for 8 to 10 cars, 7 cars, 9 cars, what have you. Not a real competitive aspect. And a lot of it was a typical complaint that we find in short tracks around the country. Too many divisions look just like one another, and you can't tell the difference. I talked to some competitors down there Friday night. Some of them were confused about what their own division was called, because the names had changed, and they looked at another car. I asked a few guys that drove and owned cars, what's that car over there, pointing to one across the pit area. They couldn't tell me. They didn't know what division it was in and what it was called. So it was a real confusing night. If you're a race fan like myself and showed up, who's who and what's what, I didn't really know. I had to ask what was going on. But on-track action was pretty good. They passed a lot, and they did some side-by-side action. Let's keep with our short track theme. Azerbaijan, the Formula One race. Who checked out Lewis Hamilton and Sebastian Vettel? They did a great Burt Myers Jr. Miller impression during, I think it was the second safety car period. Lewis Hamilton was accused of giving Vettel a brake job. The Mercedes slowed, Vettel punted him in the rear, then pulled up alongside Hamilton, swerved to the right, and they slammed side pods and wheels. It was pretty cool. Debatable on what Hamilton was doing. Pace car, safety car was going way too slow of a pace to get the brakes and the tires up to speed. Hamilton was slowing down and warned because he was following too close to the safety car. He was trying to speed up to keep heat in his tires. He couldn't do it, so he would back off and hit the brakes and then accelerate up to the pace car. When he backed off, they came out of a turn, didn't hit the gas. Vettel punted him in the rear, and they were pissed at each other, and it was good to see. A little Bowman Gray Stadium on the Formula One Tour on Saturday morning. Upcoming this weekend, Independence Day, Saturday night's Daytona race under the lights for the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup cars. If you are a short track and you are shut down because Daytona is on TV, then you have to look at your own race program. Look in the mirror. Think about it. It's 4th of July weekend, and you're telling me race fans would rather stay home and watch TV instead of coming out to your show. Think about that. The problem does not lie with NASCAR or the Daytona International Speedway. The problem lies with the race program that you're putting on. See what I said about the dirt racing a few moments ago? That could be part of the issue. Put out a good race program. There is no way anybody is going to stay home on a Saturday night to not enjoy your race program and fireworks. If it's worthwhile, no one will stay home and watch TV. Look at your own race program, track operators. It is not NASCAR's fault or ISC's fault. Everyone in between our broadcasts, keep up on the world of auto racing with our website, SpeedwayReport.com. Our Speedway Report TV replays are now posted on the site. You know, on the top ribbon, just click on the TV button, and you can watch tonight's show as well as archived programs. We've got columns posted. Steve Zonger, Paul Bloffus, and me. Tuesday, June 27th, if you're listening to us live, that's tomorrow, at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, my column from the Carolina Speedway Dirt Track will be posted. So go to SpeedwayReport.com. Big thanks to Jeff Gilder, ZRN, and Racers Reunion for the outstanding production work this evening. You can hear more from Jeff and our Racers Reunion family tomorrow, Tuesday night, 7 Eastern Time. 7 p.m., not in the morning. They're not in morning, folks. On Racing Through History. Don't forget Free Pennington with Making an Impact kicks off tomorrow night at 6:30 Eastern Time right here on Racers Reunion. Big thanks to everyone on the Racers Reunion chat room for tuning us in. It is great to be part of your family. I'm pleading with you. Go see a race at a track near you. Grassroots, ovals, drag strips, and road courses are the backbone and foundation of the auto racing world. I just followed an account on Twitter that dealt with ghost tracks and lost speedways. There's some sad photos out there. So don't complain about your local short track. Go support them. You can offer them constructive criticism like I do here, but still, go buy a ticket, go see a race. Now, I ask you, if you tuned in late or would like to catch a rebroadcast of Speedway Report, we can be viewed on demand at SpeedwayReport.com, RacersReunion.com, and on the Speedway Report Facebook page, as all of these shows, yes, they are archived. I want to thank all of the military, past and present, for the freedoms we enjoy as Americans in our daily life, including the simple things like bench racing right here on a Monday night. Freedom is not free, and a veteran paid that bill for us. To all of the men and women who are defending freedom and watching Speedway Report, take care of yourselves and come home soon. A special salute to the teachers, school staff, firefighters, police officers, and paramedics in our own communities. They are quiet and modest heroes every single day. God bless and thank you. You have been watching Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Now, don't go anywhere, because BP, JB, and BS are coming right up at the top of the hour with Racing and Rocking with Draglist.com. Please like our Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, and follow me on Twitter at Speedway Pat. For Jeff Gilder, I'm Patrick Reynolds. Next Monday, we will be off for our nation's birthday. We will be back in 2 weeks, July the 10th, with news from NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Modifieds in Loudoun, New Hampshire, IndyCars in Iowa, NHRA from Route 66 Raceway, and short track results. Thank you all for joining us on RacersReunion.com, Facebook Live, and SpeedwayReport.com. Have a happy and safe Independence Day. Good night, everybody. Rock it through the night. Race day, rock it, trust me.